prayed and asked God to give something to bring glory to Him, something that would be a benefit to Brother Ken, this ministry, and his sheep. And I'm going to try to mind God. Y'all know sometimes I tend to be lengthy, and I'm looking at and seeing what time it is, and you know, and it is getting late, no doubt. It's you know, I think about Brother Ken. I'll go home tonight and probably spend an hour watching American Idol. I got it recorded. And of course, I can get up and go get me something to drink in between it. And, you know, let's give the Lord His time. Let's see what God wants. I promise you one thing. God's telling me to shut up and sit down. I'll do it. Luke chapter number 15. I wanted to read this whole story, but I tell you what I'm going to do. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read a few verses. I've preached out of this several times, and God's given me a different thought out of it. And Luke chapter number 15, verse number 1, it said, "And he said a certain man had two sons." And y'all know the story, how the younger brother got up, packed his stuff, demanded everything that was coming to him. He took off and left. And you know the story about how he came to himself, and he finally came, and of course the father ran to greet him and welcome arms, and he came home. Praise God for that. That's not really what I want to preach about tonight, what's on my heart. And we saw how he wanted to kill a fatted calf and to be merry. And then we also saw how the elder son was in the field in verse number 25, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto them, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Oh, look at verse number 28. It says, "And he was angry." I wrote down something Brother Ken said one time here in my Bible. It says, anger will keep you out on the porch. I'd like for y'all to remember that tonight as we preach this message. And would not go in. Wow. "Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answered, saying to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time this thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, not why not even a goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto them, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meet that we should come, make merry, and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found.'" Y'all be seated now. Appreciate you standing. I'm going to do the Lord justice, but I'm going to run through this really fast tonight. The title of this message tonight is "The Good, the Bad, the Ugly." Now, every one of you is going to have different opinions about which one fits the person in this story, and I'm sure of that. And I want to make a few things real clear about these two boys. I'm preaching about these two boys tonight. And first of all, I want you to grab your imagination for a little while. I don't think it would be a bad thing to do this, because I want us to think of this father's house as the church house. And I'd like for us to think of the father as God himself. And I'd like for us to look at these two boys right here and let's visualize them. And I want to make sure I got this right the way I wrote it, because I like the way I wrote it down. These two boys represent two types of dead church members. First of all, let's make it clear. Both of these boys were sons. I've heard this preached every way in the world, but they were both sons. Amen. There's some facts about this thing that we can't deny, and we don't even need to argue about it. These boys were both sons. That's important for all of us to remember that. And both of them were in sin. Amen. And also, both of them were spiritually dead. I'm talking about the beginning of the story now. And also, both of them were eat up with themselves. And, you know, in the end, only one could see past himself. Now, you that are saved will probably relate to one of these two sons. And I guess in my life, Brother Ken, I've related to both of them. I've been in both of them's shoes. And you can draw your own conclusion, but to me, the older son was the ugly, and the younger son was the bad. and the Father was the good. And I'll be honest with you, I really, can I step out and just address my opinion? Brother Ken, I think God can use somebody that's a bad a whole lot quicker than use somebody that's ugly. Amen. You know, that the one thing we shouldn't have any reason whatsoever to be ugly. I mean, if we don't watch it, we'll all get there. I've been there before. You see, I played both these parts tonight. I played both of them. I've just got to be honest with you tonight. I can't sit here and tell you I've been a perfect church member since God saved my soul. But you know what? Tonight I'm really just going to take these two boys and I'm going to try, Brother Ken, not to point any fingers at anybody. And I know this is my church home, and I know I've known some of y'all for 20 years or longer, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody tonight, but I'm going to point out these two boys tonight, and I've already prayed. I'm going to trust God that He's going to open up your heart, and you're going to receive that which He sent to you tonight. And I pray that God would open up your eyes and take off the blinders that we might see yourself. And if you're not careful tonight, you'll go tonight, when you start getting these points, you'll go to pointing across the church house, and you'll go to remembering how somebody, maybe somebody hurt you at one time. And that's not what it's about tonight. We need to look inside our own hearts. You know, well, look inside our own self. And, you know, first of all tonight, I'd like to look at this younger boy since he was first. You know, this younger boy had a relationship without a commitment. He wanted a relationship without a commitment. He had no need whatsoever in his life. You see, I wrote down a few things about this younger boy. He was looking at the Father's hand rather than looking at his heart. He was looking to see what Daddy could give him rather than looking at that old... You know, that Daddy had a good heart. I don't know if y'all seen that in this story or not. Praise God, that's helped change my life. It's helped me not look at nobody no lower than what I am. I'm not above anybody. There's nobody good. There's no one good save the Lord Jesus and Father Himself tonight. None of us are good. None of us are arrived. I don't care what, glory to God, made none of us good. All right, let me go on. He thought more of his stuff than he did the Father. Woo! He had a hunger for stuff, didn't he? Well, ain't good way to get out in that far country, Brother Ken, and go spending that money on stuff. Amen? Because he did that, you know, because he did that, and you may not have to, but because he did put his stuff in front of the Father, he had to lose everything he had before he'd get back where he ought to be. I don't know how many of y'all can relate to that tonight, but I can, preacher. I can relate to that tonight. There's been times in my life that I've gotten to the point where what God had blessed me with, I made the blessing bigger than the blesser. I just admit that. It got that way. And I praise God, Brother Ken. God wasn't being mean to me. God was loving to me because He broke me from everything He blessed me with. Some of you tonight have to be broke before you can get back where God wants you to be. You know, if you're saved, I want you to realize this. God's calling you to commit. This boy wanted a relationship without the commitment. Brother Ken, don't that sound like so many of us now? No commitment. When I'm saved, I'm on the way toward heaven. God's blessed me. I'll come to the house of God when I feel like it. Lord God, I've been so many times, Brother Ken, didn't feel like it. Physically, emotionally, the devil. Talk about, no, I've been running, Brother Kid. This time, I'll be honest with you, he's on my back riding me piggyback up them steps right there. All I could do to walk through the doors of this building. Just being honest, I mean, why don't I lie to you? Sit up here and tell you I ain't never done nothing wrong. I ain't never had my feelings hurt. Lord God, I think I ought to hit everybody in this place. Some of you think you're the only one ever had your feelings hurt. Bless your heart, come see me one day. I make you go feeling good about yourself, amen? And I got news for you. Brother Ken, I'll test of this, Brother Ken. Them bullets just get bigger. You get shot, get knocked down. You stand up and you think it's all over with. Now, son, you're going to get shot again. But listen, every one of them shots is ordained by God to help you. Lord, we're not each other's enemy. We're not. Brother Ken said tonight, we need love, we need each other. All kinds of us. There's two different types of church members here. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Brother Adam. Brother Adam. Come up here, brother.
I'm going to use him because you're looking at two different types of church members right here. As far as I know, he ain't done none of the things I've done. And Brother Ken, I've done most of them after I got saved. I just like that old prodigal son. Brother Adam's pretty much been a dweller, but he ain't like this other boy now, but he was a dweller like him. He's been there. But you know what? I don't feel the least bit inferior to this brother. We can get in that altar and cry together. We'll shout together. We'll sing together. Stand up in the choir together. I ain't got to feel like because I've been drugged through the mud that I'm not no better than, I'm not up there with my brother Adam. Thank God he's like he is, folks. You see, the church needs both of us. It needs both kinds. It needs the bad and the ugly. Lord God, if you don't watch it, you'll stay bad. If you don't watch it, when you finally get where you ought to be, you'll get ugly. Thank you, Brother Adam. Praise God. Why did I pick him out? You know why I picked him out? Because to me, he's one of the best of the best. Some of y'all's good, but you're ugly. I know you looked at me ugly. Somebody don't wear everything just like you do. You look ugly. Lord God, they haven't been here in 3 weeks. You ain't either. You just fill the spot. Y'all, put your watches up. Feel preaching coming on. I'm going to let that soak in before we move on. Give me a drink. Lord, I hope it ain't like that place I preached the other day. They don't give you no water. So dry in there, brother. It's like somebody stuffed a bunch of cotton in my mouth. Whew, thank God. Whew, I'll never forget where Brother Jeff and them used to. He used to bring me water at that church he used to go to. I'd go down there preaching. I didn't know what water was. Finally, I got full of God one day. I said, bless God, will somebody bring me a drink of water? They did. From then on, Brother Jeff, he brought it to me. They had me. I say, I come in the door. He'd see me. He'd go back there. He'd come out with a little ice cold water. I said, praise God. Now I'm meddling. Let's get back to the message. Thought I'd give y'all something to laugh about and let you get that little medicine pill down there. Amen. Listen to this. This boy had no need. He wanted a relationship without commitment. And here's another thing he wanted. He wanted a relationship without a connection. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm not going to get no scripture out tonight, but if you're going to pray to God and God's going to hear you, you've got to walk up next to Him. You've got to be close to Him where you're here. The Father's not going to hear you out in the far country. You see, the devil would love to drive you as far away as he could from God to where God can't hear you. And the next thing that some of us don't believe because you're afraid you think you're charismatic is then if you don't snuggle right next to God, you'll never hear His still small voice. That's scripture, by the way. I ain't talking about an audible voice. I ain't like one of my aunts one time. She washed her screen for about 2 months, Brother Mike, because a picture of Jesus was on it. Amen?
Yeah.
I ain't going there. I ain't never done that. I ain't never seen that. But listen, God speaks to me. But you know what? I can't hear Him if I'm so far away from Him. How you going to know if you're in the Father's will? Because you heard the pastor preach it on Sunday? Oh, Lord, let me move on. Just to get ahead of myself. You got to be up close to Him. We need fellowship down at Daddy's house, folks. That's for sure. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But listen, the reason we need to be up close to God, the reason we need a connection is because we need to connect through prayer. Some of you say, well, preacher, I do pray. There's no doubt I pray. Well, let me ask you this. Do you pray specifically? I'm fixing to tell you something that will change your prayer life if you'll listen to it. I got to go there for a second. In Mark chapter number 10, I tried this on right here and it sure did fit good. Verse 46, we need to learn how to pray specifically. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with the disciples, had a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. A vague prayer. Have mercy on what? Well, you know, God's a sovereign God. He's an all-knowing God. Jesus already knew what he needed. But there's a reason that he didn't just answer his prayer. Because he wants us to pray specifically. Why? I have no idea, but I can tell you this, it does work. Since God showed me this, Brother Ken, I've learned to pray specifically about matters, and I've seen God move in a whole different light. I've seen God answer prayer specifically by being, not because I'm a good old boy, but just because, Brother Ken, I was obedient to the Word of God. Well, listen to what it says right here. I'm going to skip down. And it says right here in verse number 51, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou I should do to thee? The blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." And look at there, when he prayed that specific prayer, look what he did. He said, "Go," and gave him his sight immediately. We need to pray. We need to pray specifically. The problem is with some of y'all, you've given up on prayer. You don't believe it works unless you're a preacher or something. Well, preacher, pray for me. Well, preacher, that's good. Y'all ask preacher to pray for you, but what about you? Why don't you get you an offer? Why don't you learn how to pray? You see, the problem with some of you is what you done this right here. I'm going to give two or three little analogies real quick, Brother Ken. You did this right here. You said, "Well, I need a home." You got down on your knees and said, "Lord, would you please lead us in purchasing a home," or got buying a home. That's good. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Why don't you say, "Lord, would you please help me purchase the home that I need rather than what I want?" You see, then what you did is you turned around and you messed your whole prayer life up because you got in a tight and couldn't make the payments on that home. And then you started praying, "Lord, help me with the payments on this home." God said up there, "If you'd have prayed specifically, I'd give you the home you needed, and you wouldn't have no problem making the payments on it. Or maybe you wouldn't got you a car." "Well, I need me a truck." Good if you need you a truck. That's wonderful. There's a whole lot of difference between a 95 Chevrolet regular two-wheel drive with 150,000 miles on it and a 2011 Silverado Crew Cab four-wheel drive leathered up, navigation, sunroof, and chrome wheels. Amen? See, what you did, you went and you prayed and you said, "God, would you help me and lead me and let me go buy a truck that I need." Now you went out and bought the big Silverado and now you can't make the payments. You didn't pray specifically. Oh, Lord, help. If you'll get this down, it'll help you. I don't care what you drive. I don't care what kind of house you got. I don't care if you got, if you're wasting 10,000 square feet. Go for it. You better pray first, though. What's hurt some of us, Brother Ken, is our kids went out there and got themselves in a mess and we just keep bailing them out. You better leave them alone and let them crawl out of their own mess. But guess what? You're going to be doing this the whole life. You got to let them learn. It hurts to let them learn, but you got to let them learn. If you want to do something good for them, teach them how they ought to pray next time. Amen. God's a good God. But He's got specifics in His Word what He wants us to do. We need a specific prayer life, people. Listen to this. All right. Another thing He did is He wanted a relationship without a connection. Oh, he didn't even want to be connected to people. Didn't even like fellowship. Lord, bless your heart. Try it. You'll be surprised. Well, I went out with old folks the other night. I guess I am one of them now. I didn't go to get a free meal. That's not why I went. You know, Brother Ken, I think some folks say, "Well, if I go with them old folks, they're going to think I'm just smooching off the church and getting me a free meal." Yeah. What about some good fellowship? Yeah. I'll pay for my meal. I don't care. I had one of the best times I ever had Saturday night. I don't know. I had me a ball, and that 32 degrees afterwards was real good. Those of you some of you ain't old enough to go, that's all right. I tell you what, I sure do feel young when I'm in that group because I'm one of the youngest ones in it. Makes me feel good. Try a little fellowship. Fellowship. Have a couple from the church over. Quit having your drunk buddies over. You ain't going to win them to the Lord by barbecuing with them and having your Budweiser out in the backyard with them. I'll tell you a little bit how you can win them over.
I believe God showed me that. Watch this just a minute. Listen to this. He wanted a relationship without any conviction. Two of my five children, if they was honest with you, and I think they would be now, they took off and left Daddy's house physically and literally before they got married. And if both of them was honest with you tonight, they'd tell you the reason they did because of conviction. They wanted to live a different way from the standards that I had set. And Brother Kim, this boy right here, he wanted to go out and hog slop, and that daddy didn't have that kind of, I'll be honest with you, I got kind of halfway a little bit respect the old boy for that. You know, coming to the house of God and being there day in, day out, and every time the doors are open and having your tie on and prim out and proper, and you out there drinking your little Budweiser, cussing people out, beating people out of money and not paying your bills. I believe if you can't get in this altar and get right, get out. I mean, I got to have a little bit of respect for the old boy. At least he knew he couldn't live it. I mean, we all live it. Brother Ken used to have a wonderful, wonderful saying. I guess it's probably been a while since I've heard him say it. He used to say, if you ain't going to be a Christian, take your sign down. It's simple. You said, Brother, this, you got me confused. Now you got like you're pulling for this old boy that was a heathen. I like the way he ended up. Sister Renee told me about a week or two ago, we was talking about how we mess up in our life. She said, well, you know, Brother Ken, it's not how we go now, it's how we finish. Well, I've been through a lot. Yeah, I've done a lot of wrong things. Yeah, a lot of things. Let me get there. Getting ahead of myself again. I'm ready to preach this. Listen to it. Now let's go to the older brother. Some of y'all ain't going to like this. The older brother, first thing he wanted religion without a Christ-like caring. See, he wanted to be in Daddy's house. He wanted to be a fixture. He wanted to be there and be counted. He wanted to show up and people to notice him. But he did not want to have a father's love in his heart. Now, let me show you something right here, how you can win the world of Jesus right here. I really believe with all my heart. John chapter number 13. Oh, Lord, God showed me this past week, and I said, can't been able to get over it. Verse number 34, listen to this. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Listen, by this. You know what by this means? By this means this is the way you get her done, buddy. By this. Whew, glory to God. Listen to this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one for another. How in the world are you going to go out and witness to some old drunk or some old buddy or some old dope head and tell them about the love of Christ when you can't even love your brothers and sisters in the house of God? You cannot do it. What you're doing is in vain. You can get every tract that's ever been printed and handed out. You can get the Bible out. You can quit your job, beat them over the head. But if they don't see the love of Christ in your heart, especially with the people of God, listen to me tonight. Amen. Some of you trying not to listen tonight. And I know you ain't trying to listen because you're guilty. Amen. How am I going to tell Brother Troy somebody about the Lord if I've got an all against you, brother? If I can't love you, how am I going to tell them about Jesus?
That's right.
I can, but it'll be in vain. It won't be a bit of good. You're not going to win nobody to the Lord until we learn how to love as Christ loved. You see, that old boy's ugly. And just my brother Ken, is it okay if I say some of you just ugly? Is that all right, preacher? You ugly. I remember that old thing in school. U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly. Hey, you ugly. Thank you, pretty. Well, I've never done that kind of thing in my life. Oh, we can get there. Amen. You just ugly. You thought she's pretty. Oh, Brother Candace loves me. I'm here every time the door's open. I'm giving my tithe. Preacher, can I polish this knob? I hate people, but I'll polish this knob from the preacher.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, preacher.
You see, I'll get mad at somebody in the church house, and I'll let it linger for about 6 months. That ain't nothing, preacher. In that old church, they did it for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
At least, hey, thank God you're in the house of God where it can't go over about a month or two.
Amen.
Go, preacher. Amen, preacher. Amen. You want to kill this church, that's the way you kill it. By hating on one another. We need each other. You see, Brother Fallon, I need Brother Adam. Boy, clean as a whistle. I need you, boy. You rough as a cow. I need both of you. Brother Will, I need you. Brother Gerald, you talking about the other day, well, some of us is quiet. Brother Gerald, I need that little word you speak to me every once in a while. I need it. I need all of you. We need each other. We ain't got room for no division in the house of God. We don't need it. And we cannot win the world of Christ by hating on one another and having divisions in the house of God. It's ugly. He wanted religion without it. Listen to this. Listen to this. Now, I borrowed one thing from T.D. Jakes here, but I don't want to insert his name. I ain't stealing another man's name. Some of y'all don't like him because he's black.
Yeah.
You know what? That's another thing. You get the love of God in your heart, you don't care what color a man is.
Yeah.
Woo! Come on now. I know that's there. Make you get stirred up, you'll get right. Wasn't it Paul, Brother Ken, that said we need to stir things up a little bit? I ain't talking about causing confusion, making folks mad at you. Just stir them a little bit. You see, some of y'all been sitting so still for some, I didn't get there. Lord God, you need some stirring. You want y'all play musical chairs when you get that wing belt on back here? All right, all y'all go over there. You go over here and you go over here. You get stirred up. And all of a sudden, you might actually listen to what the man of God's preaching. Instead of hunting you a soul book or a baby. You see, it ain't time to play with a baby. It's time to listen to the preaching. You say, how you know that's so good? Because I've been guilty of it. Preacher, go preach it on my set. Well, let me get to, hey, come here, baby. You need a bottle, let me pinch them. Woo! That older brother, bless his heart. I can go ahead and tell you, I just can't. I just don't much like that older brother. I'm sorry, I just don't. I can't find much I like about him, but he's needed. He's needed. So I got to make myself like him. Listen to this. Listen to this. You know what? I didn't get through telling you about that other boy. Let me tell you two more things. It's real important, Brother Ken. Can we just not even watch the time just for a minute? Okay. Listen. He was looking at his father's presence instead of his presence. He was looking to get out instead of looking to get in. You see, some of y'all come to the house of God tonight. First thing you thought about, Rick, what time we'll get out tonight. You didn't even think about what I might be able to get to help me in my life. How could I benefit this assembly? How could I benefit? What could I do to help tonight? What could I do to glorify God tonight? And you thought, well, I'm in now. Then when we're going home. That's the way that younger boy was. Now, back on the younger boy, I'm sorry I ain't got this outline too pretty. See? You see, he was looking to play when he should have been looking to pray. Then he had to pay. You see, some of y'all are just playing. And you better get to praying because I promise you one of these days you're going to be paying. I know that from my own personal experience. I've lived every bit of this prodigal son. You're going to pay. Listen to the elder. Listen to this old. I'm going back to the old boy where he can get under. He don't deserve as many points, so he ain't got as many. He's a short half of this message, okay? Now, the elder brother, he left without leaving. We fret ourselves to death, Brother Ken, over people that leave the church house. And we got about half the congregation done left. They here, but they've left. Some of y'all's here, but you left. I see it on your face. I done been around you too long. You're here, but you've left. You coming up every Sunday, you putting your tithe in the plate, and that's good. But you sitting here in the church house, and you've left the place. And you'll sit around and yak about somebody else just left. And you've gone yourself. Some of y'all don't get that. Some of you got it. You know what? He didn't know the meaning of the music. He sat down there in that verse, what's the deal with all this music playing? I've seen that on some of y'all before. Amazing grace. Not thinking about one bit how amazing that grace was. You singing, Brother Tim, singing about stuff they don't even know what they're singing. What's the deal with all that music? Why do we even sing it? Sometimes I'm thinking, why are we even singing? Ain't no God in it. I mean, I'll be honest, if there ain't no juice on it, I don't want to preach it. I don't want to hear it. I want juice. I want it seasoned. There ain't no danger in this, Brother Tim. That man knows that. Oh, there's no danger in that. Woo, I'll do that UGL thing, but I ain't about to sing something. Don't call on me. Listen to this. He was mad because he wasn't married. Oh, wee. I've been there. I can preach it. Got mad because other folks was married. What you married about? I can't pay my bills, lost my job. You sitting over all smiled up in church like everything's fine. Mad because you ain't married. And some folks, Brother Ken, if something good happened to you, you can't tell them about it. You ever done that? Picked up, you say, I can't wait to tell. Ooh, I better not tell them. Listen. He griped about a goat. You could at least give me a kid. You give him old faith. He never benefited. Listen to this. He never benefited from the blessings in the house. And it's his fault. It's all there, Brother Ken. He had the fatted calf. He had all that. It was already his. He was there. He never really physically left the place. He had access to every blessing in the Father's house that was there. And folks, I tell you what, I'm afraid that's what we do. And we come in the house of God in a good church, a pretty building, good preaching, good singing, everything's good. We are not benefiting from the blessings that God's got for us. Listen to this. This old boy, he dwelled in daddy's house. He never left. He never blew in his money. He never hung out with harlots. I ain't make fun of you if you hadn't now. Don't you take that way. He never drank. He's never divorced. May have lived in an in-house divorce, which is a whole lot sadder to me. Some of you, that's what's wrong with you now, reason you can't worship because you're living in an in-house divorce. God wants you to have a marriage. God wants you to have the same kind of relationship in the house of God where you can come here and get snuggled up to Him and get intimate with Him. Amen? That's a sad situation. You don't, listen, this is what I got from Brother T.D. I like this, so I had to do it. You know the kind. They don't smoke, they don't chew, and they don't hang out with those that do. And don't you go get you a can of Copenhagen. Get on that stuff 20 years and nearly kill you to quit it and then gain 50 pounds when you get food quitting it. You know the kind. But you know what? I noticed this. He never did a whole lot of anything. Find them scriptures. Dig in them scriptures and tell me one thing that older brother did. That's it. He never done nothing, Brother Ken. There's nothing in the scripture that he done good. But I can see that younger boy at the end of the story. He's at the Father's feet where he belongs. This boy never done anything. That's like some of y'all. Well, I ain't never done nothing. Amen. Brother Ken once said this one time. I said this a while ago, but I'll say it again. He left the Father's house without leaving the porch. You know, he left the Father's will without leaving the field, Brother Ken. You know, we can preach, study, mind God, be at church, go where God tells us to do, and we can be slapped out of the will of God. You better get a relationship with the Father. Listen to this. Well, first of all, a lot of people get hurt, get out of church, and a lot of people won't get saved because of this kind of church member. Some of y'all don't believe that, I know. I believe in a sovereign God, no doubt. The Lord died for everybody. There's going to be some ain't going to get saved, and some of them ain't going to get saved because some of us are so ugly. You want to win somebody to the Lord, you just love each other. Show them the love of Christ. Listen, I'd whole lot rather hear somebody preaching, singing, and testifying and hang out with them when they realize they ain't nothing. You see, that's why I like Brother Adam here. Brother Adam, he ain't never visited to the bars and run out with all the gals and done all the things I did in my life, Brother Ken. But let me tell you something. He realizes how little he is, that it took just as much of the blood of Jesus to save him as it does me. And Brother Adam, I'm honest to say to you now, I admire you for what you've lived, brother, but I don't feel no bit smaller than you do. And that is a compliment to you, brother. It's a huge compliment tonight that I can say that to you tonight. So he gets 2 points. He wanted religion without celebrating. We see here in the Scripture that worship got on his nerves, didn't it? Oh, they turned up the music and went to dancing. Got on his nerves. I seen that kind. I seen him right here. You better look up because you probably ain't going up. Listen. In God's mercy and grace, He loved both of them. Now, I've had a little bit of fun poking at the one I ain't like. But let me tell you something. God loved this ugly brother, this ugly boy, too. He was a son. If you fit that mold tonight, God still loves you, and I do, too. I can't stand the way you act. I don't like that, but I love you. And God needs you. Brother Ken needs you, and this church needs you. And just like, and let me tell you something about you that have been out there in the hog slop. I need you too. God needs you. This church needs you. God's got a work for you to do too. He loves both of them. Listen, and I'm done. If you're like the younger son, you need to come home. Because the Father loves you just as much as the other one. And if you like the older one, you need to quit dwelling. Listen, folks, anybody can. I got this from Brother Jonathan McNeese. Anybody can load up and go to church. Think about it. Anybody can get married. I like to tie church just like with a marriage. Anybody can get married. But having a good relationship takes a whole lot of work. A lot of effort. Anybody can load up and come to church, but having church, Brother Ken, just like you said tonight, having church. You come here and you ain't here. You don't have church and you go home. And one of these days you're going to fall flat on your face and you're going to wonder where God went. Lord, we need a relationship with God. I'm glad there's room for failures. I will say that. I'm proud of it. Liberty Baptist Church will never go places until we get the proper relationship with the Father. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Which one are you, preacher?